Reality Rant.
Survivor, blood versus water. I've always thought it was blood being thicker than water, but all we know is that Jervis is thicker than the ocean. This man is dense. He sinks. And we're not just talking about bone density, we're also talking about mental density. And on that note, we welcome you to this edition of the Reality Rant Podcast, Eric Pierce of Game Show Newsnet, alongside Bill Hammond, who unfortunately warned me that Jervis was about to set black people back about 10 years, which, considering it was 13 years since he's been on Survivor, you might have wanted to increase that number just a bit. Isn't that right, Bill?
Well, I did say, specifically I said it set you back a few years. Like, you could create whatever nebulous number you wanted to.
Yeah, either way, a few was way too small. But, you know, the one thing that's good is that finally some of the chaos in our lives is over and we will be able to consistently podcast this Survivor season. So, yeah, buckle up, especially considering that promo warning us that the old Colton is back. For those of you who want to buckle up with the Reality Rant podcast, though, you know how to do it. You can tweet us in the face on Twitter. That's at Reality Rant on Twitter. You can email us at realityrantpodcast@gmail.com. And don't forget, we have a Facebook page. Like us on Facebook. Just search Reality Rant and you'll find all sorts of comminglings there. We'll have to decide what new wallpaper goes up there. But there are only so many options. And Bill, let's just start this episode off with the first premise.
Yes.
That everybody's coming in with a family member. In fact, I'll back it up because we haven't gotten to talk about it too much. This is the first official Big Brother Survivor true crossover.
Yes.
Hayden Moss, champion of Big Brother, gets to come on Survivor as the boyfriend, longtime boyfriend, tool of Kat Adorson. Yeah. I mean, is it weird when you have a returnee season and I have more reason to want to see the non-returnee on Big Brother than the returnee? I mean, Kat is, without being utterly mean, worthless. So
pretty much, I mean,
at least knowing Hayden from Big Brother, I'm like, you know what? He actually seems more like he should have been a Survivor cast than a Big Brother cast.
I mean, the few moments that Kat had in the premiere episode, I only had two thoughts going through my head. First, when it comes to the challenge, when Colton threatened to hit her with the oar, I was begging for it to happen.
Oh, I wanted them both to hit each other. It would have been fantastic.
I mean, it would have been a literal sense of knocking some sense into her, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And two, every time she kind of got lovey-dovey with Hayden in the beginning, my immediate thought was, if he ever pisses her off, does she shun his brigade?
Mm.
That's the lame joke for the day, folks.
Fantastic. So everybody comes to the beach, and more importantly, they all get to spend that first night together. They almost did something that I thought would have been fantastic, but they didn't. They mentioned that this was before day one. I'm like, then call it day zero. I want Survivor Day Zero. That just would have been very, you know, just a little interesting twist to put on there. But they all show up.
I thought that too, but at the same time, when I think of something zero, I think of patient zero, and I really don't want to think of Survivor as an infectious disease.
Really? Did you miss the last Big Brother season? Survivor's well on its way.
It's not that it won't happen. I just don't want it to happen.
I understand that. So they all come to the beach, and they're all immediately told, ha, you're going to vote somebody out. Like it or hate it?
Like it because for once it meant something. I mean, they'd pulled this prank in token sheens, but it was just a prank. You know, they voted out, Sierra and Crazy Sandy,
mm-hmm.
only for them to just say, okay, fine, you voted them out. That's nice. We haven't started the game yet. Go to camp. It's like that was all that was just, you know, artificially stirring the pot. At least this time, the pre-vote has consequences, and at least this time, there are tribes from them to be voted out from. I'm sorry, Jonathan and Wanda.
Yes, and to that much, I'm not going to say I totally hate it. I do hate it, but not totally. There is an actual game effect, so it's a fair move, but considering these people really didn't get the opportunity to even talk to each other for 20 minutes, I think it's a little unfair, again, more so for the newbie tribe than necessarily for the returnees.
I think you didn't get the
opportunity to know each other, and even some of the returnees were like, I don't know who you are.
I think the better way to have done it would have been to be, honestly, have 11 returnees versus the 10 originals,
mm-hmm.
and just have the returnees vote someone out, because then because the returnees, even though they don't know each other that well, they are still known commodities.
Yes.
And again, send that first person to set up shop on Redemption, because that is the one way that this whole thing kind of actually worked, is like, hey, we don't have to wait 4 episodes for the first Redemption Island contest. We've already got the first 2 there, you know?
Sure.
Honestly, I actually kind of felt let down that they didn't immediately just have Rupert
Redemption
and,
Island at the end of episode 1.
Well, especially because they showed you how, like the Redemption Island arena was walking distance from where they were standing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they should have just said, okay, now that we've done that, let's walk over to the arena and watch Rupert and Candace fight each other, you know? Let's get it over with right then and there.
Now, here's, I guess, the fundamental problem I have with it, is that it does drastically affect someone's game for nothing that they've done. And when I sit there and think that someone like Candace came in and frankly probably got voted out because she was pretty, and Rupert took his wife's position because, again, you know, they probably just looked at her and said, older female, not going to be as physically capable, oh, and associated with Rupert, yeah, let's get rid of her.
I call that for minute one. Like, the moment that this cast and twist was announced, my immediate thought was, I'm voting out Laura at the very first opportunity because I know Rupert is going to take her place. And willingly remove himself from the game.
Unless he goes on some epic streak, which just is not likely.
Well, I mean,
he'll compete well, but eventually.
Out of all the returnees, he's the one most likely to be able to pull an Aussie-esque streak. Because
you don't give Aris any credit?
Not particularly.
Okay.
Though, to be fair, we really didn't see Aris's challenge prowess in Exxon because Terry was dominating everything.
Mm-hmm.
But the only mark against Rupert in his Survivor career as far as challenges go is that he never won himself an individual immunity.
Sure.
But he was, both in Pearl Islands and in All-Stars, he was by far the strongest physical member of his tribe in challenges.
Okay. I'm not going to deny that he is very good at challenges, but Survivor has a way of throwing in a balanced challenge or something that's going to be extremely friendly to females, and if he's against 2 girls at that point, he could be in severe trouble. Let's step away from Redemption Island for a second. Let's go into the tribes themselves. The returnees do what all returnees do. They build a camp, they build a shelter, they have fire. They generally get along. Even Colton seems to bury the hatchet partially with Monica. Even though Monica clearly is very, very burned over last season. Still an understandably so.
And things to me, not understandably so. You got voted out by a guy who was playing better than you were, and you felt entitled to be basically taken to the end. So,
not understandably so, as in I didn't deserve to get voted out. Understandably so, as in yeah, he beat you, and he's here again. So you would feel a little uncomfortable around someone who's done that.
But I mean, like, okay, that only makes a little bit of sense, because when I hear deservedly so, as far as you know, making amends and everything, that's Don and Cochran last season. Don had every reason to be pissed off at Cochran and never trust him again. And not only did they mend fences, but they went to the end together. You know,
true. So
that's the better example.
Returnees tribe, blah. You know, it's just what you would expect. Let's go to the newbies. The newbies do something that makes a lot of sense, and I thought the argument was sound, but who knows how long it'll last. Brad Culpepper.
Oh yes,
of NFL fame. Yes. He did
NFL mediocrity.
hey, let it be. He decides that it's time to have an all-male alliance, saying that there's a tendency of weaker players, women, and John Cochran types to win this game. The way he sold it and presented it might have seemed a little chauvinistic, but in all sincerity, I think it's pretty wise, if you're a quote-unquote alpha male in this game, to actually keep the other alpha males around.
Mm-hmm.
To make that men's alliance makes a lot of sense, because as soon as you get past the merge phase, you become the biggest target at the time when the money's on the line.
Yeah, I mean, Malcolm and the Bros tried it last season. In One World, Matt and all them tried to do it, but Colton kind of put the kibosh on that. My problem with Brad,
yes,
is just the way he presents things himself. That entire first episode was basically showing us Brad is an idiot. I mean, He talked out of turn on the mat and gave away strategic information that he shouldn't have.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it's time to sell this alliance, first of all, we got 5 guys. Well, we've got 4 guys and a gay guy.
Mm-hmm.
okay, that's always going to win you points. Sure, and then, of course,
It's a horrible way of selling it. Beyond that, if you really look at the history of Survivor, gay men tend to side with the women. So you have
and that
to be cautious
and that
about that.
Tends to take them very far in the game.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, his little math demonstration on his confessional, like, you got a 5 and 4 with more and less and the 12 and not. Yeah, Brett, how did you do on the Wonderlic test, buddy? You know?
Hey, who cares how he did on the test? It's one of those where he made the right move, but didn't necessarily do it the right way. And because of that, obviously, a lot of the other guys on the tribe are wary of him. We haven't mentioned it yet, but I think those of you who watch know that the newbies lost immunity and thus ended up going to tribal council. And for that matter, the men's tribe stuck together. I think it was more so the tribe overall just decided, hey, one of the weaker girls is going to go, which is a standard Survivor trope or more. But now we have to sit here and, you know what, let's fast forward to it. The immunity challenge, because we know this is what you're all listening to the podcast for. How can we piss off Eric? That's how this game works. Jervis Peterson, why do you exist? First of all, Bill, can you tell me what the dumbest thing Jervis did in this immunity challenge was? And there were many, but what was the dumbest? Okay.
I'm gonna say taking off his eagle shirt because that made him weak.
Sure. I'd talk about the Giants and make a joke here, but I don't think I really can for those of you who watched their game against the Panthers. It's just not been a good week, folks. Not been a good week. No, the dumbest thing.
Aris voted him out because he's a Redskins fan. I hate Aris already.
Great. That was great. But you know what? The problem with Jervis was he let himself be put in the water. This was a game where you did not have to swim. Three people got to stay and do puzzles. Now, mind you, if we take a moment and we think about the history of Jervis on Survivor, has he been known to be a good swimmer, Bill?
Honestly, I don't remember. It's been that I don't remember
average
him standing out.
Average.
I don't remember him standing out. I remember he that.
But remember, in Borneo, all the challenges weren't like crazy water-based challenges.
Yeah,
that's a much later Survivor theme.
I remember when they were on the original marooning, the original premiere episode, that he and the other black woman on the tribe, whose name escapes me at the moment, they both kind of had trouble paddling the raft, but he eventually got it, but she didn't.
Sure.
But the only other memorable things Jervis did on the island was he was the one who started the tradition of eating rats.
Mmm, yum.
And I remember him the episode when his son was born, they got celebratory cigars and tree mail.
Mm-hmm. You know? Oh yeah.
Otherwise, he was kind of a non-entity. I mean, he was a fun-loving character, but as far as the game itself is concerned, he didn't really stand out.
I mean, he didn't stand out. But again, one, you're black and you made yourself swim. There's really only like one guy who's done it, and he's in the Olympics. So that was your first mistake. Second, maybe you did it because you were afraid that you were even weaker at puzzles. In which case, maybe I understand. But still, no, no, no. Third, I refuse to believe that 3 days into this damn game, you have been so weakened, especially when your tribe created fire in the first 15 minutes, was eating their rice. I mean, how can you really be that exhausted? You knew you were coming on Survivor. You've played the game before. You know it's physically daunting. Was there no training at home to be able to swim a decent distance? This wasn't even a crazy swim. We've seen far worse. As far as fatiguing challenges on Survivor.
And he started out okay. I think it's just more that he just gassed himself on the first
and
two obstacles.
And after he gassed himself, after the rest of his tribe saved his butt on that puzzle, who's the first one to speak up about the victory?
Yeah.
Really?
That is the Eagles fan in him coming out.
Absolutely.
That is pure Philly right there. I speak as a denizen. That is pure Philly.
I tell you, no one standing at the end of that challenge on either tribe, including Jeff Probst, had a worse performance than he did. Jeff Probst did more to help his tribe win than Jervis did. Just giving them updates along the way and say, you gotta go down the middle. I mean, come on. That was so beyond pathetic. And Let's talk about it. The big thing is the family connection, and as a quote-unquote result, if you want to call it that, and I'll ask you, do you think Marissa, Jervis's niece, became the target of the Newbies tribe? What percentage of that was due to Jervis's actions?
Honestly, I don't think it was that much. I think that was more of the editors crafting the narrative. Honestly, I think it's more that Brad realized that Marissa was coming after him, given his quasi gaffe on the mat.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just a case of get rid of her before she gets rid of me.
And I somewhat agree with you. I would probably say about 20% was her association with Jervis. That was like the cherry on top kind of situation.
Mm-hmm.
I think it may have been a mistake, but she's probably one of the better physical females on that tribe. However, you're going to lose some of the females. They're expendable from the perspective of this male alliance. And Marissa, unfortunately, did show a few of the, I hate saying this, angry black woman qualities, which you absolutely have to hide if you're on Survivor.
Yeah.
And as soon as you show you're going to be that sassy woman who's going to speak up a little too often, well, you become a target because they know you're thinking for yourself. Something that should be prized in the real world, but on Survivor is a bad thing. You know, they want to believe that you're weak and demure and that they can take advantage of you, and I don't think anyone believes that they could manipulate Marissa into doing what they wanted.
A part of me almost wants to believe that there was some kind of grander fan influence in this thing. Like I don't know how much the loved ones are true fans of Survivor. You know, obviously they, those that are family members with the returnees, you know, they're kind of, you know, fans by proxy.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a part of me that thinks to myself, I wish one of them had just thought, wow, if we vote her out first, it'll be the first time ever where two people have been voted out first with the same name.
Yeah.
I was like the other Marissa in Samoa, the one I picked to win, Russell's first victim. I was like,
please, if they were thinking that way, when we had the initial vote on the beach, we would have gotten both Lauras.
That
which
would've
I thought would have been fantastic, and maybe the show would even be happy about it, because when you have two people with the same name, now you have Laura B, you know, and it's a lot easier.
I was hoping that was going to happen too. One because I can't stand Laura Moret, and I think she's completely and utterly useless, and I didn't want her to come back ever. Mm-hmm. So any chance that she could have been gone within two episodes would have sat fine with me. But also, the brilliance of having Laura versus Laura on Redemption Island is now negated by having both Lauras on the same tribe.
Yeah, it happens. It does. So, where does Survivor go from here? I'm actually somewhat optimistic. There seem to be a lot of, not necessarily likable, but at least players on the new mm-hmm. tribe. So I appreciate that. There's not many people that I'm like, oh God, what are you doing here? Get out now. So I'm encouraged. I'm hoping this can turn into a good season with a couple of gameplay twists and real blindsides. I'm sorry, Jeff. No, the Marissa does not qualify as a blindside. No.
No. It...
She knew she was a valid option. She did.
Mm-hmm. I mean, believe me, the idea of guilt by association is kind of bullshit, especially when you consider the fact that Marissa was the one saying, you know, I don't care that he's my uncle, I'm taking him down, you know?
Yeah, if there's anybody out of all these pairs that I'm confident would be willing to play her own game, and if she was in an alliance, would vote Jervis out,
yeah,
it's her. I honestly do believe that. Do I think she would want to side with him and work with him? Yes. But there are a lot of people like Brad who would never do anything against their loved one under any circumstance. And I think you and I have talked about this numerous times when we've vamped about, what if there was a Survivor where people had secret friends or alliance partners, etc.? It's like, I think both of us know we would try to carry each other further because we know we'd do everything to keep each other in the game. But yep. If it ever got to the point where we're realizing, hey, goal number one is for one of us to win.
Mm-hmm.
If we see a point where the only way we get a win is by one of us going, then it's like, okay, I'm going to let you know. And all right, once we agree, it's like either you go or I go. You know, that's how it works.
And we've always also had the understanding that with the goal being for one of us to win,
mm-hmm.
part of that understanding is if it does come to it, if we have to vote one or the other out, we know that that person is now a vote for us on the jury. So
yes,
to make sure that we do win money.
Exactly. So it becomes a meta strategy. Yes, super ideal situation. We're sitting there 1 and 2, and then, oh man, wait until you see the racers come out. You want to hear some speeches? Put Bill and I next to each other at a finale in Survivor. That would be kind of epic.
Yep.
And then we'd be cussing out people as the votes are cast. It's like, I know you voted for him. You're full of shit. You're full of it. Snake and rat my butt.
A couple other fun moments from this episode. One, the new Colton.
Yeah, the new Colton. You mean Colton took an acting class and managed to maintain it for 24 hours?
Colton the crier. I want old Colton back by comparison.
Oh, he's coming back. He is.
But more importantly, that whole scene where they're sitting by the fire and you know he's talking about coming out and. You know, again, remember, he is a Republican.
Yes.
Like in almost every sense except for gay rights, he is as hardcore a conservative as you can get.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, he's having this very sentimental moment to try to show that he's matured and that he's changed and that he's dealing with some of his emotional baggage. And then we get the scene from Monica's like, oh, maybe he has changed. I would have paid so much money for the next scene to be Laura going, screw that faggot, he deserves it, you know?
Wow.
Because that's what Laura really thinks!
Oh.
That's what she really thinks! You remember, she...
And then we would have someone to hate more than Colton, which would be...
Exactly! Oh, I would have loved that. Also, that would have been just... That would have been awesome.
Another one. Let's talk about the quote-unquote new Rupert.
Yes.
Rupert on Redemption Island with Candace and refusing to do any work, not fishing, not cutting open coconuts, not gathering firewood. One, thank you for playing the game, Rupert.
Yeah, I was like, holy crap.
A couple of times, it's like, why are you doing this? Why are you doing this? You need to be... It's great that he has the ability to do all these things, but use them to your advantage. And it, again, he called it straight out. If Candace wants to spend all her energy doing this, go ahead, be my guest. I need you weak so I can beat you. Thank you! Thank you!
The thing is, in Pearl Islands, it made sense for him to be this character because, one, they had the pirate theme, which he just, you know, went into full force.
Mm-hmm.
But also, as an older man, as someone who is not a model, basically, he sticks out on his tribe. So he had to do anything he could to ingratiate himself and get himself kept around so that his social game could work. It made sense then. All-Stars, it kind of blew up in his face because he took on a leadership role, but he couldn't... But every single shortcoming he had counted against him massively.
Mm-hmm.
And then by Heroes and Villains, his reputation was so well established that he kind of just got by on that until about the final six.
Right.
You know, when he was finally voted out, there were actually a lot of complaints from Candace, from LaGrossa, from Tom Westman, that he was actually really lazy around Kevin and that he was not, you know, performing well in challenges, and that he was overexerting himself. So knowing that Rupert has never had a strategic game for this show, he's always been a social player, he's always been a character, this is probably the one thing where he's like, hey, I made a mistake before, let me correct it. It's the only mistake he'll actually acknowledge.
Yeah, and it's a good start. Now, the thing is, in the end, will we call it a mistake that he took his wife's place?
That was a mistake.
I mean, it was a mistake. It's kind of sad, but you would never expect Rupert to do anything else.
Yep.
And I just really hope that Laura takes advantage of her new position, because I do think she has a good chance to ingratiate herself with the returnees tribe and be successful.
There's certainly a chance, and perhaps just like with Brad on the newbies tribe, she'll realize, hey, the women have the advantage. You know, if it comes to it, let's use it, you know?
And it would be very smart for them to take advantage of such, because, hey, women get picked off early in this game. If you have any way of preventing it, why wouldn't you take advantage of it?
Especially when you consider that of the five women on the Galang tribe, or whatever the hell that's called, you know, you have both Laura's, you have Tina, then you have Kat and Monica, okay? So of your five women, you have four middle-aged wives and mothers, and one younger woman who's friends with one of the others from the previous season.
Mm-hmm.
That's as solid a basis for a startup alliance as any.
Yeah, can't complain about that in the slightest.
Yeah, so if she's smart enough, go for it.
And I think she's smart enough, but again, it's how you present it. She can't present it in the Brad Culpepper manner. She has to get people together and make them realize that, you know what, I didn't want to play this way, but maybe it's our best option.
Yeah. Another fine moment from this episode that
yes.
that the casual viewer would have overlooked. No sprint poll.
No player of the game.
No sprint player of the week sponsored by Sprint Stop Sprint Set Sprint.
Well, I think all of the sponsorships got spent on NBC's Million Second Quiz.
Oh, dear God, what a train wreck.
Who knows? Who knows? But yes, Survivor, I'm positive about it. You don't hear that often, so let's hope that this sticks around. How about you?
It still has the potential to become a tremendous catastrophe, but it alleviated some of my fears on the premiere. I'll give it that much.
Yes, and that is good, and let's hope that we get a good game here. A good game, even though I definitely think they way too heavily oversold the, oh yeah, I'll vote out my mom like nothing, it's not a problem. My husband, I can't wait to beat him. Yeah, I don't buy any of that. But hopefully we have a game despite that. And if so, I will be thrilled. So until then, you know how this works, folks. I'm Eric Pierce of Game Show News Net. That is Bill Hammond. And this Reality Rant Podcast Survivor Kickoff Edition is...
Cool little shot where you can see tribal councils right next to the beach for once. It's pretty awesome.